Welcome to the Should've Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Brad Powers, college football handicapper expert, will join us. We will go over the college football playoffs, get his thoughts on bowls, maybe the Michigan opening, and just some general thoughts with all of these college games, and excited to get it going here with the college football playoff. But first, we must start with one of the great regular season NFL games you will ever see. The Seahawks win. They score a touchdown and a two-point conversion to cap off a ridiculous, improbable, unthinkable comeback to beat the Rams. And it's, you can never compare anything to Game 7 of a World Series. I'm not doing that. I'm only comparing that to, that's the last time, and there aren't many times where you watch a game and you have those reactions where there are so many plays where you just have a reaction of, oh my goodness, that happened. I can't believe that just happened. And it just becomes to the point where it's just, it's hard to imagine a crazier game with more twists and turns, and the Seahawks get a big win. Give Darnold credit. The punt return obviously helped, but he did what he needed to do when he needed to do it. Awful loss for the Rams. They almost gave away the first one, and they did give away this one. So Seattle wins by a point, if you noticed. Seattle, most places closed 1.5, but that line, and there are a few of them this week, kept bouncing back between Rams favored by 1.5, Seattle favored by 1.5, and I'm sure most people think, I might even mention on the pod, it's not going to land on one, who cares, -1, -1.5, +1.5, what's the difference? Well, you saw the difference, and Herb Street and Michaels were lost pretty much when it was clear. Seattle was not going to kick the extra point to tie in overtime. It tied didn't do them any good. You're leaving yourself in a position where you give the Rams a sudden death situation where all they need is a field goal. The Seahawks were definitely going to go for two. They did. And now it sets up a situation where they pretty much have to do this all over again, it looks like, in a couple weeks, because they play in San Francisco, the season finale. The Seahawks control their own destiny. The 49ers control their own destiny. And Darnold is right back where he was last year, because that is very likely going to be the game, the final game of the season for everything, with the drop-off of, if you win this, you're the one. If you lose, you're all the way back to a wild card and on the road and all that stuff. And Darnold is going to be in that situation again. It looks like the Seahawks schedule down at two games now, at Panthers and at 49ers. Their home games are done. The 49ers play the Colts on Monday. Then they get home against the Bears and home against the Seahawks. So, look, you don't pencil anything in. It's the NFL. They could lose and crazy things can happen. But if that is the game and that's what it's looking like, I think we're setting up for what looks to be two division championship games this week 18. They've backloaded the division games. They want more division games later in the season. They don't want teams that have clinched to take the foot off the gas. The thinking is, if we just backload the division games, they're more likely to matter. Teams are less likely to tank a division game against a rival. So very possible we get Steelers and Ravens for the division, and 49ers and Seahawks, not just for the division, but for the one seed. So incredible game. Seahawks win. So much about the weather and nobody could score. 38-37, there was plenty of scoring, and the Seahawks get it done. Before we get to Brad, my picks. I talked about this a little bit the other day. I love the Titans getting the 3. I think they win the game. I just can't see the Chiefs, after all of these years of playing in the playoffs and the Super Bowl and winning championships, they're out of it. Their quarterback is hurt. Their offensive line is an absolute mess. They're really going to get off the mat and rally the troops and go win a meaningless game against Tennessee. I really question, their motivation, their effort, where they're at psychologically, physically. They just seem like everything is caught up with them the last 6-7 years of playing deep into the playoffs. They look hurt and tired. I think the Titans win the game. I'll take them +3. I like the Lions -7 against the Steelers. The Steelers, like I mentioned, with that win against Miami, they very likely just need to beat Baltimore, and anything they do beforehand might not matter. Week 18, so on a short week and really a less talented Steelers team anyway, that's a flawed team, a limited team. The Lions are, they're better, they're hungry, they're home, they're off a loss, they're motivated. Lions absolutely need the game. I'm okay laying the 7 with Detroit. That's pick number 2. And the third one, I think the Ravens beat the Patriots. I'll lay the 3. Talked about last week, the Patriots and their fortune on fourth downs, fortune on turnovers. That stuff is all still there. 26th in DVOA. Defensively, they're not a great defensive team. They're not even a good defensive team. And the Ravens, I can't tell if they're getting healthier. Their defense is definitely playing better. Lamar shows it in spurts where he starts to look like the player that we're used to seeing, and you can see a little bit burst. He's definitely not 100%, but maybe one of these weeks he'll put a full 60 minutes together and look like the Lamar of old. I like the Ravens. I trust Harbaugh in this spot at home. And I don't think, like I said, the Steelers, I don't know about their motivation. The Ravens are a game behind the Steelers, so they can't run the risk of, this game doesn't matter, we'll see in Week 18, because if an upset happens, they might not see Week 18 with a chance to get it done in the AFC North. So Ravens, Titans, and Lions are the plays for the NFL. College, we are here, the playoffs, after all of the controversy, who belongs in, who shouldn't be in. I'm excited for the weekend. It's not the greatest slate of games. That being said, we get Bama versus Oklahoma. On campus adds a little juice to it. You know, the problem from an intrigue standpoint, we already saw Alabama, Oklahoma. We already saw Tulane, Ole Miss. Oregon, James Madison's a complete waste of time. Miami, A&M is the real good game where both those teams are, evenly matched. The other three, there's reasons to be sour on all four or on the other three, but I'm excited for it. I have come around to liking Oklahoma. I just look at Simpson, the Bama quarterback, and struggles with pressure. Oklahoma's going to blitz constantly. I think the best of the four units is going to be the Oklahoma defense. Bama is so one-dimensional, and I know Bama dominated the game statistically a month or so ago, 6 weeks ago when they played in the regular season, but they threw a pick six. I don't think that pick six was an accident. When you're under pressure and you don't deal well with pressure, and Oklahoma is going to blitz you, and especially at home, they are going to be ferocious defensively. That leads to mistakes, so should be a close game. That's another one. Bama was a point-and-a-half favorite. Now they're a point-and-a-half dog. I don't think it's the worst idea to tease, even though you're not supposed to tease in college, just because I'd be very surprised if somebody pulls away and wins with a low total. This should be a 20-17, 24-17 type of game. It's very likely, I would say, to be a one-score game. Plus, if your team wins, it could be you could win by two scores. You can win the game or just stay within a score. Not a bad teaser leg is Bama. But I think Oklahoma wins. I will say this, though. It's always important. Gil Alexander talks about this a lot in a numbers game. It's worth repeating. If this were one of 150 games on a normal Saturday, would you still be betting it? If the answer is no, probably better off just staying away. But that's not how people work. It's a standalone game. People want to watch. They want to have action on it. So I can certainly understand that. They won't, even if it's a small bet, just to have a rooting interest. I like Oklahoma. I think they get it done. And I also like Miami. I know that everyone seems to be on Miami. Elko's a much better coach than Cristobal. They are just loaded, both sides of the ball, with talent. I think a new lease on life after getting in the playoffs. So I do like Miami getting the three. I don't have much. Tulane, Ole Miss, we saw it once. We don't need to see it again. My favorite of all the four, though, I really would be surprised if Oregon does not put a huge number on James Madison. They got their teeth kicked in last year against Ohio State. Lanning's a good motivator. They're going to be focused. They're going to be rested. They're not going to overlook anyone. I think this is always dangerous when you make these bold proclamations. I think it's going to be 42-3. Then they lose the game outright. Look like an idiot. To me, this does have 42-3, 42-6 written all over. I just don't know if James Madison can score. They've got a pretty good defense. Now maybe they can muck it up. You get a turnover, anything can happen. But I like Oregon. I think they roll in this game. So Oregon, Miami, Oklahoma. If I had to come up with a play for Tulane Ole Miss, I'd lean towards laying it. And I'd probably just look towards taking that Ole Miss team total over 36.5. Just because they were so dominant on offense in the first meeting. I know no Lane Kiffin, but this should just be a mismatch in terms of the athletes, the explosiveness. So should be fun. Got a great Thursday night game. If the rest of the NFL and college football weekend is anything like we saw Thursday night, we are in for one hell of a weekend. So let's talk to Brad Powers. We'll see what he thinks. That is next. This Should Have Been More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. He's the best in the business. Nobody better to talk about these bowls with. The college football playoff. You can catch him at Covers. Hit the books. Brad Powers. Brad, it's playoff time, man. How's it going?
It's going. We're finally here. Battle for the national championship. I don't know if we got the 12 best teams, but they are games that we can bet on. I can tell you that.
Yeah, it's funny because as much as we all have our issues with the system and college football and just in general, once Friday night rolls around and it's Bama versus Oklahoma, I'll be checking my phone, the clock, every 20 minutes to see, when's this game going to start? I'll start to get itchy. I'll start to get antsy. I'll have that anticipation. Will you feel the same way?
Got to be honest, probably not. I already seen the game. Both teams struggling. I don't think, you know, a total of 39.5, it's not, you know, I'm going to watch it. I mean, it's college football. I love it, but it's not one of the, you know, get the, you know, the butterflies type of matchups for me. Probably not going to see any of them for me until the quarterfinals. So not looking forward to it, to hopefully win a bet. That's about it.
Let's get to who you do like in that game, because the total, I'm surprised, has ticked up. It ticked down, like you said, under 40. I'm looking at, I mean, only one book now, DraftKings, like 41.5, 40.5. And the favorites have flipped in the last day or so, where now it's Oklahoma favored by a point and a half. I actually prefer the Oklahoma side. Ty Simpson, the Bama quarterback, can struggle with pressure. Venables, the Oklahoma coach, is going to bring all sorts of pressure. I know you can look at the first matchup and say, well, yards per play, that was all Bama. But Mateer, maybe a little time to heal, get healthier. I don't know if there was 100 games on a Saturday, I'd be betting Oklahoma, but I think their defense will be the best of the four units here. What's your handicap of this game?
I think the most valid thing you said on that was, if there was 100 games, would I even be interested in it from a betting perspective? And probably not. And I think that's a good lesson to be made here during bowl season, is just because it's on, it's an isolated matchup, doesn't necessarily mean you got to bet it. I do lean the other side, though. I lean Alabama. I go back to the first matchup, a game they should have not only won, but I can even make – and I bet Oklahoma in the game. I loved Oklahoma. It was one of my favorite plays of the week. Cash that ticket, but felt, you know, I'm never going to, you know, apologize for winning a bet, but thought that Alabama was the better team. Thought that Alabama should have won, should have covered. I do think a significant injury for Alabama, at least in the SEC championship game, not having Jam Miller, really impacted their rush attack. Having him back, I think, should be, you know, hopefully we see a little bit better performance. How could they not? And -3 yards rushing last time out. I don't think it's a high value bet, but if you're going to give me 1.5 with Alabama, it's a pizza bet for me.
Any thoughts on the total? And I know we hear this all the time. Steve Fezzik, who can be a, you know, buddy of ours, can be the betting police. So you don't tease college football, which is generally correct. But with a total that's low and 1.5, would you be tempted to go up through the 7.5, or is that just a total no-no?
It's a really good question. It's something that I thought of today, to be honest with you. I was like, huh, Alabama teaser. Not there yet, but it is a bet that I'm considering. And normally, I would say 99% of the time, it's not even a thought process in me. Although I think we just saw a game where I do think, you know, the Army-Navy is a game that I would not, you know, if somebody told me they tease that every year, I wouldn't blink, because I think that's a great one. This would be another one. I got to find a dance partner. It's going to be, obviously, have to be an NFL game. I'm definitely not going to tease two college games side by side. But, you know, Alabama and the Chargers, maybe. That's a bet that I considered this morning.
Interesting. Yeah, there's a decent amount of NFL. Bears, Packers, and that's similar to Bama, where that favorite keeps flipping, where it was Packers by 1.5, Bears by 1.5. So there's plenty of different options in terms of that. What no thoughts on the total here?
I don't know how you could run anything you've seen from bowl season so far. It doesn't scream betting overs. Anything you saw from these two teams in particular down the stretch says I can't bet an over, even though it's incredibly low. I mean, I think Oklahoma game's 10-2 to the under this year. Alabama's had 5 straight to the under. We'll see if Ty Simpson's a healthy. There's been some rumors there that there could be some fire with all that smoke. So I guess lean under, but it doesn't take much, a la pick six, like the first matchup, for it to go over such a low total.
Yeah, and back to the teaser thing, too. You could say, you know what, you don't tease college, but with only 4 games and standalone games, if you figure the lines are tighter, that teaser, you almost use the sharpness of their lines against them, where those teasers become, you know, those 6 points become extra valuable. I don't know. Last thing on this game, I would, for any of those books that have, will there be a score in the first 5-6 minutes, I would look towards a no. I could just see, yep, you know, low scoring game, feeling out process, that kind of thing. So, well, that will kick us off. Then we will go Miami versus A&M on Saturday. It's interesting. The college football, you know, trying to stay away from the NFL here and putting their best game really in that early window where they don't have the NFL competition. I like Miami. I love the talent. It wasn't that long ago we were talking Miami, Ohio State, who's the best team in the country in week 4, week 5. That being said, everyone seems to love Miami. It is Cristobal. It's hard to really trust them, but it is Miami for me. Do you disagree? Where are you at with this game?
Again, not a high-value bet for me. Haven't bet it yet. Wasn't really interested in the game, side or total. When the juice threes started showing up, I got a little more interested in the A&M side. I hear you on the Miami side. Have they been in an environment like this at any point in the last couple of years? No. So we'll see if they can handle the environment. Carson Beck certainly has, playing in the SEC, so that's a feather in Miami's cap. But you brought up Cristobal. I think Elko's a much better coach. And if you're telling me, man, I got the much better coach. I think both teams are overrated because neither one played that tough of a schedule. Obviously, both teams' best wins came against Notre Dame early in the season. I'm going to lean A&M if I can find some more widely available juice threes. But, again, it would be another game. If it was a regular Saturday, it would be passed. Let's move on to the next one.
Yeah, how about a total here? We're down to 48.5. Anything?
I thought the first half under was really sharp. I saw a couple groups hit that. What was it, yesterday or the day before? That would have been the preference there.
Move on here. Ole Miss, Tulane. This is the game I have the least conviction on. Probably if I had to bet anything, Ole Miss team total over 36.5. We saw this game once. We don't need to see it again. It was 45-10. I mean, you can always cover when you're getting 17.5. All it takes is, a backdoor, a turnover, anything. I guess I would lean towards Ole Miss team total over. I'm not sure how much of this. I'll probably watch it, but I'm least excited about this game, at least from a betting perspective. Do you have anything to add? Anything you bet?
I bet Ole Miss still would lean that way. It crossed through 17. I think you wait. I think 17 might become more widely available. Again, you mentioned, I already seen the game. It was a legit 45-10 too. They outgained them by almost 300 yards. So I think, anytime you want to lay a favorite, you got motivation for margin. I think Ole Miss does here. It'll be, number one, it'll be a much better atmosphere from a crowd perspective than the first game. And two, I think that a lot of players feel slighted from, and the coaching that remained feel slighted by what Lane did to them. So they're out to prove something, chip on their shoulder, lay it. I think Tulane's pathetic for them to be playing for a national championship. I don't even have Tulane in my top 50.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I'm all for giving the little guy a shot when the little guy deserves it. But to have Tulane and James Madison in a 12-team field is just it's ridiculous. But
brutal.
Yeah, it is.
And TV ratings reflect that, especially already going up against the NFL. And with those two teams playing in games, I mean, they're just going to get decimated.
Oh, they're going to draw flies. It's Saturday before Christmas. People out shopping. People are watching NFL. There's just that people will not be tuned in, especially if the first score you see is 14-0 Ole Miss.
And on TNT. I mean, TNT. You don't think college football.
That's a good point. Yeah, you'll be scrambling to find these games. I've noticed that the other day there was a college basketball game on TNT. Since when is it? I mean, it's just different now with all the streaming and all the different TV deals. It's harder to find these games. This is the game I probably have the most conviction on. It's 21 in a lot of spots. Oregon against James Madison. Oregon obviously laying it. You hit on it with Tulane Ole Miss. When you have a favorite that's motivated, that's rested, I just hate from James Madison's perspective. Oregon got their teeth kicked in. Their only playoff game last year against Ohio State. Lanning's a good motivator. I think this could be 21-0, or end of the first quarter, that kind of game. Yep. Am I off base here, or you think Oregon rolls?
No, love it. It's my favorite bet. I'm just right lockstep with you. I know I disagreed on the first couple, but Oregon's my favorite bet. Now it's down to 21. It would be the, if someone said, hey, I got to make one bet right now, it would be Oregon, lay the 21. There'll be some other ways I attack it. I hear you on the Oregon first half for me. Usually Atlantic comes out, really strong in a lot of these games. A lot of money on the under. I know there could be a wet forecast. Hell, it's Oregon. It's always, there's always rain in the forecast. I like Oregon team total, too. Another one that I think could be an easy cover with maybe a quarter to spare. So that's 34.5. I love Oregon again. And not only do we have like overmatched group of five teams that aren't like Boise State from last year or Cincinnati from a couple years ago, but both of the coaches are leaving, taking other jobs. They're probably distracted. It's just, again, you want to showcase the best of the best in college football this time of year. We don't have that. So Oregon, I think, is one of the best. I'll take it a step further. I think they're going to make a run. I bet Oregon 3-1 to make the national championship game.
I was just going to ask you, did you fill out a bracket? And if so, who do you have in your final?
Oregon's going to play, obviously, the winner of Georgia, Ohio State. I'm going to go Ohio State for now, but I think that's a pretty much a coin flip. Those three teams, if you gave me just isolated those three teams versus the field, I would even lay some minus money with those three teams.
The two bowl games on Friday. I always say when Western Michigan and Kennesaw State, you could just throw out the records. We got a 3-point spread here. I mean, these games really kind of lack some interest here. Western Michigan laying it to Kennesaw. Do you care about this game? Do you have any interest in betting this?
Oh, I care. I bet it. I hate the bowl games. The matchups have been boring, but that doesn't mean I haven't bet them. I bet the under. I don't know how you can bet an over right now. So at current, that would be my preference. I did bet some Western Michigan. Obviously, there's the line's been all over the place. I got Western Michigan with a plus sign next to their name, but I think 3 is pretty fair. Let's go under 47.5.
How about the other one, NC State laying 4 to Memphis?
You know, there's been – Memphis got an interim coach, but the money keeps coming in on Memphis. That concerns me that maybe a C.J. Bailey, there's whispers about him entering the portal. The NC State quarterback, Hollywood Smothers, the running back, does he play? You got to follow the money sometimes. Maybe somebody has an inkling. They haven't publicly announced anything yet, so I'll respect that. But, my goodness, if they're in there and I'm first in the news that those two guys are playing, this line is cheap.
What's your favorite bowl game from a betting perspective at the current lines?
At the current lines, probably Oregon.
Okay.
Talking about, yeah, Oregon and Oregon team total specifically would be my preference. There's a couple of sneaky ones that I'm going to disagree with some movement. I don't mind Louisville as long as Jeff Brom's not the next Michigan coach. Toledo with an interim coach or DC's gone and everything. I think Miller Moss is playing for Louisville. So it seems a little cheap to me right now.
Who is the next Michigan coach?
Good question. I'll put a stipulation. DeBoer wins. Alabama beats Oklahoma. It's not going to be DeBoer. If Alabama loses, I think it could be Kalen DeBoer.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I haven't checked those markets, and you can get some of those, the prediction markets.
I think we're back to Dillingham. He's the favorite. He hasn't, you know, come out and said no. I know he's probably trying to get some extra money, but there's a max exodus of his ball players. I mean, he's the favorite in some of the poly markets, the calcium markets, and all that stuff. So I think it's either Dillingham or DeBoer.
I'll ask you this. It's probably unfair to ask, but I'll see. I'm interested in what you have to say. What does this sport look like 5 years from now?
I don't know. What I do know is I probably won't like it as much as I have for most of my life. So all the change hasn't been good, really. I mean, there's been some change that's been good. I'm not going to say that everything's been negative, but I don't know what the private equity stuff is going to be a disaster. I don't know. My inkling is I've been a college football guy my whole life. Is 5 years from now, I'll probably be more of an NFL guy.
What's the major issue? Is it these teams? Can they not afford the players? Like, is that sustainable with all the money they're giving out?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to be able to afford the players. It's just not worth it. It's a bad investment. I think you can only go to the high, you know, the well-off donors so much. When, you know, Troy Aikman came out and said this. Look, they asked him for some NIL a couple years ago. He said he did it. The player ended up leaving, and he said he won't do it again. I think you're going to get a lot of those cases. So sooner or later, the money's going to dry up, and you know, they're going to reach out to the fans. What do you do? Keep putting the cost on the fans, raising ticket prices and all that. I mean, sooner or later, people are going to be tuned off.
Brad, you're the best, man. I appreciate some time. I know you're busy. Let us know where we can find you. The newsletter, Twitter, what you got going on?
Yeah, you can just follow me on Twitter, X or whatever you kids are calling it. BradPower7 is the handle.
Thanks, Brad.
Thanks for having me.
Do it, rate, review, subscribe, announce the contest winner. So I reach out to everyone who won. We'll be doing another one soon. So leave a review on Apple. Use your phone. Use a friend's phone. Any of them you can do really help us out. Enjoy the weekend. Should be a good one. See you Monday.